Okay, let's unpack this. Imagine a company that stands as a true titan in the high-stakes world of cybersecurity. You know, the kind of company protecting the digital backbone of everything, from your financial institutions to the global air travel system. Now, picture that very same company experiencing a major public global IT outage. It wasn't a cyber attack, which is crucial to note, but it still brought businesses worldwide to a grinding halt. So the question that really hangs in the air is this. Can a single catastrophic operational event truly derail a long-term leader in such a critical field? Or maybe, does it become a defining moment of resilience? Today, we're embarking on a deep dive into CrowdStrike Holdings, Inc., widely known by its ticker symbol CRWD. If you're not already familiar, CrowdStrike has really established itself as a premier high-growth asset within the ever-expanding cybersecurity market. Our mission here is simple, to distill the most important nuggets of knowledge and insight from an in-depth investment analysis report, alongside other critical sources, directly for you, our listener. Think of this as your shortcut to genuinely understanding the complexities of a leading technology company navigating perhaps its biggest test yet, without getting bogged down in, you know, overwhelming technical or financial jargon.
Right, and the core paradox we're exploring is quite striking, isn't it? On one side, you see CrowdStrike's really robust cloud-native platform, its undeniable leadership in key market segments, and frankly, a financial profile that most companies would envy. Yet, sharply contrasted against that is the severe operational failure of the July 2024 global IT outage. I mean, the singular event places a company celebrated for its high growth and technological prowess under an intense microscope. It fundamentally challenges its very foundations of trust and flawless execution.
Exactly. And that's precisely why this deep dive is so vital for you. Whether you're prepping for an important meeting, simply curious about how the tech world responds when a seemingly untouchable leader stumbles, or perhaps you just want to grasp the intricate dance between rapid growth and unexpected crisis. Well, we're here to provide that quick yet thorough understanding. We'll cover everything. From their groundbreaking technology and the mechanics of their business model to their competitive standing, their financial health, and of course, the full fallout and long-term implications of that massive outage. So let's start at the beginning. What exactly is CrowdStrike? At its essence, CrowdStrike is a recognized leader in modern endpoint security. Think of them as the primary guardian for every single device connected to a network. Could be a laptop, a server in a data center, or even a cloud workload running in AWS or Azure. They are definitely a high-growth asset, firmly positioned within the secularly expanding cybersecurity market. I mean, that market is continually propelled by our increasingly digital, interconnected world. The company's very foundation rests on a powerful cloud-native platform and what's often referred to as a formidable data-driven moat.
That cloud-native aspect is truly CrowdStrike's disruptive edge. It fundamentally differentiates them from, you know, the traditional security vendors. Their innovative architecture, they call it the Falcon platform, is built around a single-agent cloud-native design. What that means is, instead of installing bulky, resource-intensive software and managing on-premise hardware, customers deploy this tiny, lightweight software agent on their endpoints. This agent then communicates directly with CrowdStrike's massive cloud infrastructure. So this approach completely sidesteps the old way. No more expensive hardware, no more complex manual updates, and no more maintaining those cumbersome on-premise antivirus systems.
And the advantages for customers must be pretty significant then.
Oh, absolutely. They're profound. It significantly reduces cost and complexity because there's just no on-premise hardware to purchase or maintain. Deployment is incredibly fast. We're talking minutes instead of days or weeks in many cases. Being cloud-based, it offers, well, essentially infinite scalability. It seamlessly grows with any organization, from a small startup to a huge global enterprise, without hitting performance ceilings. And crucially, the platform is always up to date with the latest threat intelligence automatically. Customers don't need to manually patch or update anything. That ensures they're protected against the newest threats the moment they emerge.
Okay.
And it's highly extensible. New security modules can be activated and deployed through the existing agent without requiring customers to re-architect or redeploy the whole solution. The strength of this cloud-native design even earned them FedRAMP High authorization. That allows them to serve stringent U.S. government clients, which is a powerful endorsement of its security and reliability, really.
Right, that extensibility piece. It naturally leads us to one of CrowdStrike's most successful growth engines, their land and expand business model. It's truly a textbook example, isn't it, of how to scale an enterprise software as a service or a SaaS company. The core strategy is elegantly simple. They land a new customer by selling them maybe one or two foundational modules, like Falcon Prevent for next-gen antivirus or Falcon Insight for endpoint detection and response. Then once that lightweight agent is deployed on the customer's devices and they're integrated into the Falcon platform, CrowdStrike strategically expands that relationship. They upsell additional security modules over time, gradually increasing the customer's footprint and, well, their reliance on the platform.
And it demonstrably works. The numbers really paint a clear picture of their success. As of Q1 fiscal year 2026, a remarkable 48% of their customers had adopted six or more modules from the Falcon platform. That's a notable increase from 44% the prior year.
Wow, almost half.
Exactly. And diving deeper, 32% were utilizing seven or more modules, and 22% were even using eight or more. So this isn't just about acquiring new customers. It's about making CrowdStrike so deeply embedded within existing customer operations that switching becomes a truly daunting, almost unthinkable proposition.
Yeah, that really illustrates their mastery of enterprise stickiness.
Definitely. Yet, despite all these inherent strengths and impressive growth metrics, we have to immediately pivot to the monumental challenge that CrowdStrike faced, that July 2024 global IT outage. This incident, while critically not a cyber attack or security breach on CrowdStrike itself, was an operational failure of, well, epic proportions. It served as an unprecedented stress test, exposing operational vulnerabilities that, frankly, weren't anticipated from a company at the absolute forefront of cybersecurity innovation. It fundamentally tested the implicit trust customers place in their security vendors. And it certainly created significant reputational and financial headwinds, placing immense pressure on a company that, until then, had traded at a premium valuation largely based on its perceived flawlessness.
Right. And that brings us directly to the central question guiding this entire deep dive for you, the listener. Does CrowdStrike's superior growth profile and demonstrably resilient business model truly justify its premium market valuation? Especially now that these newly highlighted operational risks have come to the fore amidst persistent and, let's face it, intense competition. We're going to systematically dissect all of these factors throughout our conversation today. Let's pull back the curtain then and look deeper into the engine room, specifically how CrowdStrike's business model and operations function. Their approach is, as we said, a prime example of a modern, high-growth software-as-a-service enterprise. It's built on a foundation of disruptive technology, a highly sticky subscription revenue model which gives them significant predictability, and a go-to-market strategy that creates this powerful self-reinforcing flywheel for sustained growth.
We briefly touched on their cloud-native architecture earlier, but it's worth elaborating on the how because it's truly what revolutionized their segment of the market. At its core, it's about that single, intelligent, lightweight agent deployed on the endpoint. Could be a laptop, a server, a virtual machine in the cloud, doesn't matter. This agent then communicates with a centralized, cloud-hosted analytics and management interface. This architectural choice is revolutionary because it completely eliminates the need for customers to purchase, install, or maintain any on-premise hardware.
Which must be a huge relief for IT teams.
Absolutely. Think of the immense cost savings and the dramatic reduction in management complexity for IT and security teams. This isn't just about convenience. It's about a fundamentally different way of delivering security. And this design doesn't just simplify things. It enables incredible operational advantages. It provides that infinite scalability we mentioned. CrowdStrike can protect a small number of devices for a startup or millions for a global conglomerate without a hiccup. Critically, it ensures the platform is always kept current with the latest threat intelligence automatically. There's no manual patching or updating required from the customer side. That's a massive differentiator in a threat landscape where new attack techniques emerge, well, every
right.
single day.
Right.
And the platform's extensibility is a huge strategic advantage. New security modules can be seamlessly activated on the existing agent without customers needing to re-architect or redeploy their entire security posture. That flexibility and frictionless adoption are key to their land and expand model.
And the financial backbone supporting all of this is their powerful recurring revenue model. You mentioned predictability. This subscription-based approach provides a high degree of that predictability and stability to their financials. In Q1 fiscal year 2026, subscription revenues alone accounted for a staggering $1.05 billion. That represents 95% of their total revenue. I mean, this isn't just a desirable feature. It's a fundamental strength that provides clear visibility into future cash flows.
Exactly. But the metrics driving this recurring revenue are what truly impress. Their gross retention rates, which basically indicate customer churn, are consistently between 97% and 98%.
That's incredibly low churn.
It is. What this means is that they are losing a negligible number of customers each year. It's a testament to incredibly high customer satisfaction and the value they provide. Even more compelling, though, is their net revenue retention, which has consistently remained above 120%.
Okay, 120% NRR. Now, that's often called the gold standard in SaaS, right?
Yeah, it really is. It means that, on average, existing customers are spending over 20% more with CrowdStrike year over year. This expansion comes directly from purchasing additional modules and deploying more Falcon sensors across their organizations. It's a clear indication that customers aren't just staying. They're deepening their reliance and embedding CrowdStrike further into their critical operations.
So that deepening customer relationship translates into strong economics.
Directly. It translates into robust SaaS unit economics and impressive scalability. Their non-GAAP subscription gross margins consistently hover around 80%. That figure is a clear indicator of an incredibly efficient software delivery model. It shows that the incremental cost to serve an additional customer is minimal once the core platform is built. They've truly built a scalable, profitable platform. We can also look at their sales efficiency. The cost to acquire new recurring revenue has been consistently declining. It's proving superior to what many of their peers, think Salesforce, ServiceNow, or Workday, achieved when they were at a similar scale generating over $1 billion in ARR. Now, it's true, CrowdStrike makes substantial upfront investments in its go-to-market engine. Sales and marketing expenses were about 39% of revenue in fiscal year 2025.
That sounds high.
It's significant, yes, but the combination of those high gross margins and exceptionally strong retention rates ensures that the lifetime value of a customer significantly exceeds the initial customer acquisition cost. This favorable lifetime value to customer acquisition cost ratio, or LTV to CAC, is the powerful engine driving their profitable growth within the subscription-based business model.
And to really supercharge that land and expand model, they introduced something strategically significant called Falcon Flex. Can you explain that? This sounds like a game changer because it allows customers to purchase a subscription based on a total contract value, giving them incredible flexibility. They can then deploy any of the platform's 30-plus modules as their security needs evolve, all without the friction of a brand new procurement cycle for each additional product. Is that right?
That's exactly right. And this Falcon Flex model is, as you said, a strategic masterstroke. It's something genuinely worth understanding. It completely reframes the customer conversation. Instead of customers thinking about buying individual point products, they're making a strategic investment in a consolidated security platform.
Aligning with the CIO's desire for vendor consolidation.
Precisely. It directly aligns with a key goal many CIOs have. It simplifies their budgeting and dramatically reduces the friction for adopting new modules, making it a clear win-win.
Has it been successful?
The rapid adoption speaks volumes. In less than 2 years since launch, it has already attracted over 820 accounts and represents more than $3.2 billion in total deal value. In Q1 FY26 alone, the value from newly added Falcon Flex accounts jumped an impressive 31% sequentially.
Wow.
There's a fantastic example they've shared. A Fortune 100 technology firm, they initially signed a $12 million EDR contract, but then by adopting the Flex model, they expanded that into a contract worth over $100 million, consolidating multiple security functions onto the Falcon platform. This really demonstrates how Falcon Flex isn't just a pricing model, it's a strategic lever for accelerating market share capture and deeply embedding customers. It fosters what management calls reflexes, where customers use up their initial credits early, leading to larger, pulled forward contracts, which further entrenches their dependency on the platform. It's an incredibly astute move.
Okay, so let's zoom out now and consider CrowdStrike's position within the broader cybersecurity landscape. It's a competitive space, right? First, it's absolutely essential to grasp the sheer scale of the global cybersecurity market. It's already massive, but projections show it expanding from roughly $250, $300 billion in 2024 or 2025 to a staggering $500, $800 billion by the early 2030s.
That's enormous growth.
It is. We're talking about compound annual growth rate, CAGRs, of maybe 12.6% to 14.4% through 2032, 2034. This is a market with explosive, sustained growth potential.
And this isn't just arbitrary growth. It's propelled by several undeniable powerful drivers. Firstly, the increasing sophistication of cyber threats is just relentless. Adversaries aren't relying solely on simple malware anymore. They're employing advanced, often malware-free techniques that traditional security solutions simply can't catch. Secondly, widespread digital transformation and rapid cloud adoption have effectively dissolved traditional network perimeters. That dramatically expands the attack surface organizations need to protect. Thirdly, increasingly stringent regulatory and compliance mandates are forcing organizations to invest more heavily in security to avoid significant financial penalties and, you know, reputational damage. And finally, the proliferation of connected devices, the whole Internet of Things, or IoT, creates countless new entry points for attackers, driving an insatiable demand for comprehensive security solutions.
Where's the biggest market?
Well, North America currently represents the largest segment, but it's worth noting that the Asia-Pacific region is poised for the fastest growth.
Okay. And within that booming market, you mentioned a fundamental shift happening in the industry, away from legacy solutions.
Exactly. We're seeing a decisive move away from those legacy, often cumbersome on-premise products towards integrated cloud-native platforms, particularly in areas like endpoint detection and response, EDR, and the broader extended detection and response, or XDR. Gartner, a leading industry research firm, reported that 90% of organizations now utilize cloud-delivered endpoint protection platforms, or EPPs.
90%.
Yeah. This signals a fundamental tidal wave of change, and CrowdStrike is undeniably riding it at the very front.
So they're not just part of the trend, they're leading it.
Indeed. CrowdStrike isn't just riding that wave, they are leading it. They've been recognized as a consistent leader in Gartner's Magic Quadrant for Endpoint Protection Platforms for 4 consecutive years. They consistently rank highest on both ability to execute and completeness of vision. This isn't just marketing fluff, it's a strong endorsement of their product strategy, innovation, and market traction. Further validating their position, IDC data ranks CrowdStrike number 1 in the modern endpoint security market, commanding a 17.7% share and actually surpassing Microsoft's 16.4%.
Overtaking Microsoft is significant.
It is. And a key insight here is that CrowdStrike isn't just growing, it's dominating the fastest growing parts of the market. Their core EDR business is projected to grow at a blistering 25% CAGR, potentially reaching $17 to $25 billion by the early 2030s. And the emerging XDR market, which extends detection beyond just the endpoint, is forecasted to grow even faster, with CAGR estimates ranging from 20% to as high as 38%. This strategic focus positions CrowdStrike to capture a disproportionate share of industry growth, compounding its existing market advantage.
But this isn't a market where anyone can afford to get complacent. The competitive landscape, what we sometimes call the platform wars, must be incredibly fierce. You have to acknowledge the threats. Who are the main competitors?
Excellently. And the most significant threat, arguably, is Microsoft.
Right, because of their distribution.
Exactly. Because of its immense enterprise distribution and its bundling strategy, particularly including Defender for Endpoint within its Microsoft 365 E5 licenses, Microsoft creates a powerful economic incentive. Customers can get what's often perceived as good enough security at a very low, almost marginal cost. This bundling strategy risks turning competing point products into what the industry calls shelfware software that's bought but never actually used because something else is included free.
Okay, so Microsoft is huge. Who else?
Then you have Palo Alto Networks, PAN-W. They're a long-standing leader in network security, and they offer their integrated Cortex XDR platform. They often appeal to companies looking to consolidate all their security under one vendor. However, their platform is frequently cited as being more complex and having a steeper learning curve compared to CrowdStrike.
And SentinelOne, they seem like a direct competitor.
They are. SentinelOne, ticker S, is a direct cloud-native competitor. They share a very similar AI-driven architecture and are also recognized by Gartner as a leader in the space.
So what's the core battle then? Is it innovation or something else?
Well, the central competitive dynamic for CrowdStrike isn't really about being out-innovated by some tiny startup. It's about successfully navigating the bundling and platform plays of these established tech giants. The core investment thesis ultimately hinges on whether enterprises will continue to prioritize CrowdStrike's perceived superior efficacy and lower operational complexity over the sheer convenience and bundled pricing offered by, say, Microsoft.
And that brings us back to the outage. Does that change the calculation? Will the convenience of bundling ultimately outweigh the desire for a best-of-breed security solution for more customers now?
That's the critical question. While CrowdStrike's sustained growth and high retention rates so far suggest that customers are indeed prioritizing efficacy, this remains the most critical long-term competitive risk to monitor, especially post-outage.
Okay, let's shift focus then to what truly underpins CrowdStrike's long-term success. It's competitive moat. This isn't just good tech, right? It's about advantages that are hard to replicate. You mentioned the threat graph earlier. Is that the core of their technological moat?
You've hit on the essence. The threat graph is absolutely the cornerstone of the Falcon platform's competitive advantage. It's effectively the brains of their entire operation. Imagine it as an enormous interconnected brain, a purpose-built cloud-scale graph database. It continuously ingests, correlates, and analyzes literally trillions of security events every single week. These events stream in from millions of endpoints across CrowdStrike's global customer base.
Trillions per week.
Trillions. And this is where the genius lies. It creates a powerful network effect. Every new customer and every single new endpoint that joins the CrowdStrike network contributes to this colossal data pool. In turn, that makes the platform's AI and machine learning models exponentially smarter and more effective at detecting threats for all customers.
So it's a data advantage that grows over time.
Exactly. This is a classic example of a data moat. While a competitor might eventually build a similar software agent or cloud infrastructure, they simply cannot retroactively collect the years of diverse, real-world threat telemetry that CrowdStrike has amassed. This historical data is the absolutely essential fuel for training their AI models. It enables them to identify not just known malware, but also the subtle behaviors and sequences of actions, what CrowdStrike calls indicators of attack, or IOAs, that characterize modern, evasive, and often malware-free attacks.
Can you give a sense of the scale?
The scale is astonishing. The threat graph currently processes approximately 2 trillion events per week and makes 2.3 million IOA-based blocking decisions per second.
Wow.
This data moat is arguably CrowdStrike's most durable advantage. It creates a self-reinforcing cycle of leadership that is incredibly hard for anyone else to replicate.
Okay, so the tech and data moat is powerful.
Yeah.
What about customer stickiness? You mentioned high switching costs. It's not just about the money to switch, is it?
Not at all. When we talk about switching costs in enterprise cybersecurity, it's far more substantial than just the financial outlay for new software. It encompasses a complex web of operational hurdles and risks. For a large organization that has deployed the Falcon Agent across thousands, maybe tens of thousands, of devices, the idea of ripping and replacing that solution is a monumental undertaking.
I can imagine. What's involved?
Well, firstly, there's the sheer deployment effort. It's a logistical nightmare. Systematically uninstalling the old agent, then deploying a new one across a distributed fleet, often requiring reboots, potential downtime. It's disruptive. Then you have significant integration costs. You have to reintegrate the new security solution with your existing broader security ecosystem, your SIEM, your SOAR tools, even your basic IT ticketing systems.
And training.
Exactly. And critically, there's the impact of training and workflow disruption. You'd need to retrain your entire security operations center, your SOC team, on new interfaces, new alert types, new response workflows. This can temporarily reduce their operational efficiency and, perhaps most critically, increase an organization's risk exposure during that transition period.
And these costs increase if they use more modules.
Exponentially. A customer using CrowdStrike for endpoint security, identity protection, and cloud security is far more deeply embedded and therefore significantly less likely to switch than someone just using a single module. The 97-98% gross retention rate we discussed earlier serves as powerful quantitative evidence of these high switching costs and the resulting customer stickiness.
And even after the outage, analysts thought churn would be limited.
That's right. It's quite telling that even after the severe July 2024 outage, Morgan Stanley analysts specifically noted that these switching costs are also relatively high for existing CRWD customers, which they expected would significantly limit customer churn.
Okay, and the final piece of the moat, their go-to-market strategy and partnerships. They use a hybrid approach, right? Direct sales and partners.
Correct. They employ a sophisticated hybrid strategy, a direct sales force for those massive enterprise accounts, expertly combined with a broad and deep ecosystem of channel partners. This hybrid model is incredibly effective for scaling. Their Accelerate Partner Program encompasses a diverse ecosystem, value-added resellers, VARs, distributors, managed security service providers, MSSPs, and global system integrators, GSIs. This network allows them to significantly extend their sales capacity and geographic reach. It's particularly crucial in international markets and for the small to medium business segment, where direct sales would simply be less efficient and too costly.
Do we know how much partners contribute?
We do. The success of this strategy is tangible. In Q1 FY26, the MSSP channel alone contributed over 15% of the total deal value. That's quite significant and highlights the leverage they gain from these partnerships. This broad reach provides a durable advantage, allowing them to scale efficiently across diverse market segments.
Okay, let's pivot to the numbers story then. Because CrowdStrike's financial performance, well, It truly stands as a testament to SaaS excellence, doesn't it? Their revenue growth and annual recurring revenue, or ARR, progression have been nothing short of remarkable. For the full fiscal year 2025, their total revenue hit $3.95 billion. That's a robust 29% increase year over year. And subscription revenue, the absolute core of their business, grew even faster at 31% to $3.76 billion.
Those are strong numbers at that scale.
Absolutely. And the key metric for a SaaS business, ending ARR, the annualized value of active subscriptions, reached $4.24 billion at the end of fiscal year 2025. That was up 23% year over year. That strong momentum continued into Q1 fiscal year 2026, where ending ARR grew 22% year over year to $4.4 billion. They added $194 million in net new ARR just during that quarter. That's a crucial indicator of continued market share gains. All of this keeps them firmly on track toward their publicly stated long-term goal of achieving $10 billion in ending ARR, a truly ambitious target.
It is ambitious. And what's equally impressive is how CrowdStrike demonstrates significant operating leverage. Despite pursuing such aggressive growth, their non-GAAP subscription gross margin consistently hovers around the 80% range.
80% gross margin. That's high.
Very high. It's a strong indicator of the incredible scalability and efficiency of their cloud-based software platform. For fiscal year 2025, they generated $837.7 million in non-GAAP income from operations, showcasing their ability to translate that top-line growth into bottom-line profitability, at least on a non-GAAP basis.
Right, the GAAP versus non-GAAP distinction. It's important for listeners to understand this. Historically, CrowdStrike has reported GAAP net losses, with the notable exception of fiscal year 2024. Can you explain why?
Sure. This discrepancy is primarily due to high stock-based compensation, or SBC. It's a common practice in high-growth tech companies that use equity to attract and retain top talent. For example, in Q1 FY26, they reported a GAAP operating loss of about $125 million, while their non-GAAP operating income was a healthy positive $201 million.
And they're aiming for GAAP profitability soon.
Yes, management has publicly stated their target is to return to sustained GAAP profitability starting in Q4 FY26. That will definitely be a key milestone for investors to watch.
Interesting. How might that return to GAAP profitability truly impact investor perception, especially given the ongoing reliance on stock-based compensation? That's something to consider.
It is. But despite those historical GAAP losses, CrowdStrike has consistently proven to be a formidable cash-generating machine. Their free cash flow, or FCF, is a key indicator of a company's underlying financial health and efficiency. For fiscal year 2025, they delivered a record $1.07 billion in FCF on $1.38 billion in operating cash flow.
$1 billion in free cash flow.
Exactly. And this strength continued even in Q1 FY26, with a robust $279 million in free cash flow, equating to a healthy 25% FCF margin. What makes this Q1 FCF even more impressive is that it included a negative impact of approximately $61 million from costs directly associated with the July 2024 outage.
So even with the outage costs, cash flow was strong.
Very strong. Looking ahead, management is confident in achieving an improved free cash flow margin of more than 30% in fiscal year 2027. That provides them with significant financial flexibility for continued R&D, strategic acquisitions, and potential shareholder returns.
And when we delve into their key SaaS metrics, they really tell a cohesive story of customer health and platform reliance, don't they? We've already highlighted the net revenue retention, NRR, consistently above 120%, truly best in class.
Right. And it isn't just a number. It means existing customers are not only staying, but expanding their spend by over 20% year over year. It shows deep satisfaction and increasing reliance.
And the gross retention.
At 97-98%, exceptionally high, minimal customer churn.
And module adoption keeps climbing.
Continues to climb. In Q1 FY26, 48% of customers using six or more modules, up from 44% the prior year, 32% using seven or more, 22% using eight or more.
So these metrics, when viewed together, they tell a compelling story.
Absolutely. They tell a compelling story of satisfied customers who are progressively deepening their reliance on the Falcon platform. That's absolutely critical for long-term value creation. And looking at the historical trends, you see remarkable consistency in these performance indicators despite their rapid growth, further underscoring the platform's stickiness.
Okay, so how does CrowdStrike plan to sustain this impressive growth story well into the future? Where does the next wave of growth come from? Their strategy seems centered on massive platform expansion, systematically increasing their total addressable market, or TAM.
That's the core idea. Management projects there, TAM, will grow from an estimated $116 billion in calendar year 2025 to a whopping $250 billion by 2029.
$250 billion TAM.
Right. And the vast majority of this growth is expected to come from these new, rapidly expanding security markets they're entering.
So these aren't just incremental features they're adding.
Not at all. These are strategic moves designed to capture a much larger share of enterprise security spending, extending well beyond their initial endpoint security stronghold. Their key expansion initiatives include cloud security, identity protection, and next-gen SIEM.
Let's break those down. Cloud security first.
Okay. In cloud security, the Falcon Cloud Security offering aims for a comprehensive cloud-native application protection platform, or CNAPP. It unifies both agent-based and agentless protection right from the initial code development phase through to runtime. This is a significant growth engine. Their cloud module ARR grew 70% year over year as of Q2 FY24. They even strategically acquired Bionic in 2023 to add application security posture management, or ASPM, capabilities, further strengthening their offering across the entire software development lifecycle.
Okay, and identity protection. Why is that so important?
Identity protection has become a major focus, and for very compelling reasons. Compromised credentials are used in the vast majority of successful breaches today. Following the 2020 acquisition of Preempt Security, they launched Falcon Identity Protection. And just recently, in August 2025, they unveiled Falcon Next Gen Identity Security. It's a unified solution integrating initial access prevention, privileged access management, and identity threat detection and response. This is critical because, increasingly, adversaries are logging on with valid credentials rather than breaking in with malware.
Makes sense. And the last one, next-gen SIEM. That's taking on established players, right?
Yes, they are aggressively targeting the enormous and often stagnant security information and event management, or SIEM, market. They acquired Humio back in 2021 for its high-performance log management technology. That forms the foundation for their Falcon Next-Gen SIEM offering. This is an AI-native solution specifically designed to displace legacy solutions like Splunk and Cradar, promising faster, more effective threat detection.
Is gaining traction?
It's showing powerful early traction. They reported triple-digit ARR growth for next-gen SIEM in Q1 FY26. So again, these expansions aren't merely new product lines. They are strategic maneuvers to capture a significantly larger share of overall enterprise security spending, truly going beyond their initial endpoint beachhead.
Beyond expanding the product portfolio, CrowdStrike also sees significant international growth opportunities, you mentioned. In Q1 FY26, international revenue was 33% of total. That seems like a big runway for more growth outside North America.
It absolutely is. Their strategy for this international expansion is heavily reliant on those channel partners we discussed. They provide scalable reach, especially in complex markets like Europe and Asia Pacific.
Are there challenges internationally?
Well, while the strategy is smart, it's worth noting that Gartner has previously observed some areas for improvement. Things like lower market penetration outside North America compared to some peers, and relatively limited language support for their console, currently only English and Japanese.
Okay, so localization could be key there.
Addressing those aspects will be key if they truly want to capture that massive global potential and ensure seamless adoption across diverse regions.
They're also expanding across different customer segments, not just large enterprises. I saw they had strong growth in big deals, but what about smaller businesses?
That's right. While they continue to see robust growth in large enterprises, evidenced by 113% year-over-year growth in deals exceeding $10 million in Q1 FY26, they're also making a strategic push into the small and medium business, or SMB, market. They're doing this through dedicated partner pathways and tailored offerings like Falcon Go, which is specifically designed for organizations with 100 endpoints or less.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? They're not just expanding their product offerings. They're expanding their reach across a wider spectrum of customer sizes, tapping into vast, historically underserved markets.
And much of this expansion, both in product and market segment, is facilitated by a disciplined acquisition strategy. They're not pursuing massive transformative mergers. Instead, it's more tuck-in acquisitions of innovative tech companies. Think of Preempt for identity, Humio for SIEM capabilities, Bionic for ASPM.
So buying tech to build out the platform faster.
Precisely. These acquisitions serve a clear purpose. They accelerate CrowdStrike's product roadmap and strategically extend the Falcon platform's capabilities into new high-growth areas. This buy-to-build approach allows them to rapidly enter new markets and enhance their overall value proposition much faster than relying solely on organic development.
Ultimately, the enduring strength of any company hinges on its leadership, its commitment to innovation, and its ability to maintain shareholder confidence. How does CrowdStrike stack up here? Let's start with leadership. Co-founder and CEO George Kurtz.
He's definitely a key figure. George Kurtz is a seasoned veteran of the cybersecurity industry and widely regarded as a visionary leader. His strategic vision is singularly centered on the Falcon platform becoming the definitive, consolidated security platform for this entire cloud-centric era we live in. He cultivates a culture of relentless innovation and an urgent sense of purpose, which is absolutely critical when you're in a constant high-stakes battle with sophisticated adversaries.
And he's looking ahead, too.
Yes, his forward-looking focus even extends to securing autonomous AI agents, which he views as a massive new attack surface and a significant future opportunity for CrowdStrike. And his track record speaks for itself. Consistent high revenue growth, expanding non-GAAP margins, and a history of generally exceeding market expectations.
And that ambitious vision needs fuel. R&D investment.
Absolutely. It's robustly fueled by substantial investment in research and development to maintain technological leadership. In Q1 FY26 alone, they invested nearly $335 million in R&D on a GAAP basis. That's over 30% of their revenue for the quarter.
Wow, that's a huge percentage.
It is. And a key innovation stemming from this significant investment is the integration of generative AI through Charlotte AI. This is designed to act as an intelligent security analyst assistant. It aims to automate and significantly accelerate security operations center workflows, things like triaging alerts, investigating incidents, even generating reports. This highlights that they're investing heavily not just in defense, but in intelligent automation, aiming to make security operations much more efficient and effective for their customers. That solves a critical industry pain point around personnel shortages and alert fatigue.
Now, historically, as a high-growth company, CrowdStrike has reinvested pretty much all of its operating cash flow back into the business, right? No dividend. But there was a significant shift recently in their capital allocation policy.
Yes, that's right. In June 2025, their board of directors authorized a $1 billion share repurchase program. That was a noteworthy development.
What is a share buyback signal?
Well, it's generally seen as a powerful signal from management. It indicates a high degree of confidence in the company's long-term strategy, its ability to generate substantial free cash flow, even while continuing to invest aggressively in growth. It suggests that management believes the business can fully fund its operational needs and strategic initiatives and still have excess capital. By choosing to use this excess capital to repurchase shares, they are also signaling their belief that their own stock represents an attractive investment at current levels.
So the timing was interesting.
Yeah.
It came after the outage.
Exactly. That timing is significant. Authorizing it after the July 2024 outage can certainly be viewed as a calculated move to bolster investor confidence in the company's resilience and long-term value, even in the face of those recent challenges.
Okay, let's address the elephant in the room then. The ultimate stress test that truly defined CrowdStrike's recent history. The July 2024 global IT outage. This was a seismic event for the company. Let's just set the scene. July 19th, 2024, the company experienced a catastrophic operational failure. It's been widely described as one of the largest IT outages in history. And again, it's absolutely crucial to clarify this up front. This was not a cyber attack or security breach against CrowdStrike.
That distinction is paramount, yes. The root cause was identified as a faulty software update that was pushed to the CrowdStrike Falcon sensor on Microsoft Windows devices. Specifically, a logic error was introduced into a critical internal configuration file, sometimes referred to as Channel File 291. This file is responsible for very low-level operations, like screening communications, what are called named pipes, at the kernel level of the operating system.
Okay, the kernel. That's the core of the OS.
It's the central brain, yes, directly managing the computer's core hardware and software interactions. And named pipes are a way for different software components to communicate securely within the system. This flawed update, unfortunately, passed through a defective internal validation process. When deployed, that logic error triggered an invalid page fault, causing a critical system crash the infamous blue screen of death, or BSOD. This left affected machines in an infinite boot loop, unable to start up correctly. This incident undeniably highlighted a significant operational oversight in their own deployment process, despite their strong security focus.
The global ripple effect.
Yeah.
It was immediate and just staggering, wasn't it? Affected an estimated 8.5 million or more Windows devices worldwide. And because CrowdStrike's customer base includes over 75% of the Fortune 500, this outage severely crippled critical infrastructure across nearly every industry. It really showed just how deeply integrated their solution has become.
It did. The examples of disruption are truly sobering and illuminate the interconnectedness of modern systems. Major sectors like aviation, healthcare, and finance saw widespread paralysis. Airlines were forced to ground fleets, leading to thousands of flight cancellations and delays globally.
I remember the travel chaos.
Exactly. Hospitals and clinics experienced major disruptions. Some couldn't access patient records or appointment systems, forcing the cancellation of non-urgent surgeries and procedures. Banking institutions, payment systems, stock trading platforms were impacted, disrupting countless financial transactions. And other sectors, from media broadcasters and retail stores to government services, including emergency call centers, also suffered severe disruption.
The economic costs must have been huge.
Immense. Initial estimates place the total global economic damage at over $10 billion. Fortune 500 companies alone were estimated to have lost $5.4 billion. Delta Airlines, for example, publicly reported a $380 million revenue impact from the incident and stated its clear intention to seek compensation. The sheer scale of the disruption truly underscores the critical nature of CrowdStrike's role in global digital operations.
There's no sugarcoating it. The outage inflicted severe reputational damage and represented a significant breach of trust with customers. CrowdStrike's leadership acknowledged this publicly. CEO George Kurtz famously stated, and I quote, "Trust takes years to make and seconds to break, and we understand that we broke that trust and we need to work to earn it back."
A very direct admission.
Yes. And this incident has already led to multiple lawsuits and ongoing complex discussions with customers regarding compensation and remediation.
The long-term implications of this event are significant and multifaceted. Firstly, there will undoubtedly be increased operational scrutiny across the entire industry. This incident highlighted the systemic risk associated with centralized, automatically updated security software. Customers will likely demand more robust testing, enhanced QA, and more controlled, phased rollout options from all their security vendors moving forward.
Makes sense. What else?
Secondly, in terms of competitive dynamics, while those high switching costs are expected to limit immediate widespread customer churn, this outage has certainly provided a clear talking point for competitors like Microsoft and SentinelOne. Prospective customers may now approach CrowdStrike with more caution, potentially leading to a near-term slowdown in new business. Morgan Stanley, for instance, projected a possible 20% reduction in net new ARR for the second half of the year following the outage.
And financial impact.
Financially, CrowdStrike did incur direct costs. In Q1 FY26, they disclosed $39.7 million in expenses directly related to the outage, and free cash flow was negatively impacted by approximately $61 million. And finally, there's regulatory scrutiny. Management disclosed receiving requests for information from both the Department of Justice and the SEC related to the outage. That introduces a new layer of legal and regulatory uncertainty.
How was management's immediate response perceived?
Well, CEO George Kurtz was quick to communicate that the issue was a product defect, not a cyber attack. That was a crucial clarification to prevent panic about a breach. The faulty update was identified and swiftly reverted within about 90 minutes, preventing further devices from being affected. They also quickly published detailed manual remediation guides for customers to help recover those bricked systems.
So recovery wasn't instant for everyone.
No, the recovery process proved labor-intensive and time-consuming for many organizations, especially those with large distributed fleets of devices. That prolonged the disruption for some customers, unfortunately.
Okay. And beyond the outage itself, it's important to remember that CrowdStrike continued executing on its broader strategic plan during this period.
That's right. This time frame also saw the launch of significant new products, including that generative AI security analyst Charlotte AI to automate SOC tasks, and the continued expansion of its platform into identity security and SUM, as we discussed earlier. They also had to navigate broader macroeconomic headwinds. Management noted in late 2022 and early 2023 that these were causing some elongation in sales cycles, particularly with smaller customers. So it's definitely a complex picture of both internal challenges and ongoing strategic execution.
Okay, so when we talk about investment, it's crucial to assess the potential downsides. CrowdStrike, despite its strengths, faces several key risks. The July 2024 outage wasn't just an event. It was the direct materialization of a significant technology and cybersecurity-specific risk, wasn't it? The potential for a defect in their widely deployed platform to cause catastrophic disruption.
Absolutely. And the company itself acknowledges this quite explicitly. Their 10K filing identifies the risk of real or perceived defects, errors, or vulnerabilities harming their reputation and business. This incident starkly underscores the immense responsibility and operational risk associated with providing kernel-level security software operating at the very core of an operating system to a global customer base. Furthermore, as a leading cybersecurity provider, CrowdStrike itself is a high-value target for sophisticated threat actors.
Right. They protect others, but they need protection too.
Exactly. A successful cyber attack against CrowdStrike's own infrastructure could be devastating, not only internally, but potentially serving as a supply chain attack vector into its customers' environments. It's a stark reminder that the very solution designed to protect can, in rare instances, become a source of risk itself.
Then there are the competitive risks, which we certainly touched upon. The primary one remains those bundling strategies, especially from Microsoft.
Correct. Microsoft Defender integrated within E5 licenses creates strong pricing pressure and that seemingly frictionless adoption path.
And the outage amplifies this.
Yes. The post-outage environment only amplifies this competitive dynamic. The July incident provides competitors with a powerful talking point regarding reliability and the risk of a single point of failure. It could make prospective customers think twice, perhaps prompting them towards diversification of security vendors or even a renewed look at native OS security offerings, despite CrowdStrike's perceived superior efficacy.
Customer and execution risks are also paramount, I imagine. Their business is highly dependent on customer satisfaction for renewals and that crucial expansion revenue.
Very much so. Their 10K filing specifically acknowledges the risk that customers may not renew or may do so for shorter terms or fewer modules due to factors including the impact of the July 19 incident. There's also the potential for elongated sales cycles as customers conduct more intense due diligence post-outage. And like any rapidly growing company, they face the ongoing challenge of scaling their infrastructure, sales force, and customer support effectively without compromising service quality.
And finally, regulatory and compliance risks.
Yes. Operating globally means CrowdStrike is subject to a complex and ever-evolving landscape of data privacy and security regulations across different jurisdictions. The new and significant risk here stems directly from those Department of Justice and SEC inquiries that followed the July 2024 outage. While the exact nature and ultimate outcome of these inquiries are still unknown, they introduce a new layer of legal, financial, and regulatory uncertainty for the company.
It raises a broader question too, doesn't it? How might these regulatory inquiries shape the industry's approach to security software updates and vendor accountability moving forward, not just for CrowdStrike, but for all software providers?
That's a very important question for the whole industry.
Okay, all of these factors, the growth, the moat, the outage, the risks, converge and lead us to the ultimate investment conundrum for CrowdStrike, its valuation. Despite the recent challenges, it has consistently commanded a premium price tag in the market.
Yes, absolutely. When you look at the raw numbers, CrowdStrike indeed trades at a significant valuation premium relative to both its direct cybersecurity peers and the broader software industry. For instance, its trailing 12 months price-to-sales ratio, PS, is around 26x. That's substantially higher than the peer average of roughly 14x and the broader software industry average of about 5x.
Big difference.
Huge. Similarly, its TTM enterprise value to sales, EV sales, is around 25x, well above the sector median. And on a forward non-GAAP basis, its PE ratio is exceptionally high, often exceeding 100x compared to a sector median in the low 20s. Now, it's important to put this into context. These multiples are generally within the company's historical trading range. It reflects the market's long-standing willingness to pay a premium for its sustained high growth profile and market leadership.
So you have the bull versus bear debate. The bull case argues this premium is absolutely justified.
Exactly. The bulls point to the company's superior financial profile and massive growth opportunity. Sustained 20% plus AR growth at multi-billion dollar scale. That best-in-class NRR above 120%, a rapidly expanding TAM, strong, growing free cash flow generation. From this perspective, it's considered a rare elite asset capturing a large and increasing share of a secularly growing market. The valuation simply reflects this exceptional status.
Okay, and the bear case. Valuation is stretched, too much priced in.
That's the counter-argument. The bear case argues the valuation is stretched, perhaps even speculative. This viewpoint contends that the current stock price has already priced in years of flawless execution and significant market share gains, leaving virtually no margin for error. Any notable deceleration in growth, any margin pressure from intensified competition, or any significant operational misstep like the one we saw, well, that could lead to severe multiple compression.
And the outage clearly amplified that bear case.
Dramatically. It highlighted the razor-thin margin for error when a company trades at such a premium.
And the outage's shadow on valuation was direct and immediate, right? Stock plunged.
Immediately. Wiped out over $20 billion in market capitalization in short order. While the stock has since recovered a significant portion of those losses, the incident fundamentally altered the company's perceived risk profile in the eyes of many investors.
So investors might demand a higher return for taking on that perceived risk now.
Potentially, yes. Investors may now apply a higher discount rate to future cash flows to explicitly account for that demonstrated operational tail risk. This shift is certainly reflected in the wide dispersion of analyst price targets we're seeing, ranging from lows around $350 to highs above $500. It shows significant disagreement among experts about the long-term financial impact.
And for those using DCF models for valuation, what are the key inputs now?
For discounted cash flow valuation, the key drivers are now under increased scrutiny. First, the durability of revenue growth. Can they sustain near 20% growth once they cross $5 billion in revenue? That's critical. Second, the terminal free cash flow margin. Can they really expand from the current 25% towards their target of over 30%? And third, most critically perhaps, the discount rate, or WACC. A higher perceived operational risk post-outage could logically argue for a higher WACC, which would lead to a lower present value in a DCF model.
Okay, so for those of you tracking CrowdStrike's trajectory, knowing what to watch next is absolutely crucial. Let's talk about the key metrics and indicators that will give you the clearest picture. What's the single most important one?
I'd say the single most important primary performance indicator to track is net new ARR. This tells you directly about their current business momentum and their ability to gain market share. You'll want to closely monitor this metric quarterly. Pay particular attention to whether management achieves its guided reacceleration in the second half of fiscal year 2026. Any sustained weakness here would be a significant concern for future growth.
Okay, net new ARR. What else?
Beyond that, keep a very close eye on module adoption rates and Falcon Flex momentum. These metrics are a direct measure of their platform strategy's success and how deeply they're embedding themselves with customers. Track the percentage of customers utilizing 6 or more, and especially 8 or more, modules. The growth in total deal value for the Falcon Flex model is also a crucial leading indicator for platform consolidation and future revenue expansion.
And the retention rates. Mm-hmm. Still critical.
Absolutely critical. The bedrock of SaaS value. Gross and net retention rates. Any significant and sustained deviation from their historical benchmarks, about 97% gross retention and over 120% net retention, would be a major red flag. It could signal potential issues with customer satisfaction, product efficacy, or increased competitive pressure, particularly in the post-outage environment.
So what does this all mean? These are the vital signs. They'll tell you if the patient is truly recovering strongly or just stabilizing.
Exactly. Those are the vital signs.
Are there any early warning indicators we should look out for? Things that might signal trouble ahead?
Yes, there are a few. Listen closely to management commentary on earnings calls regarding sales cycle length. This provides real-time insight into the macroeconomic environment and competitive intensity. Elongating cycles were a concern in late 2022, and they could reappear if economic conditions worsen or if the outage has made customers more hesitant. Also, while not a formal metric, management often provides qualitative commentary on competitive win rates against rivals like Microsoft and Palo Alto Networks. Any notable shift in this commentary could be an early indicator of a changing competitive landscape.
And financials.
Monitor the free cash flow margin closely. Watch their progress towards that stated goal of achieving a 30% plus FCF margin. Any sustained pressure here could indicate a need for higher than expected capital expenditures, increased pricing pressure from competitors, or other operational inefficiencies.
And specifically related to the outage health check.
Ongoing monitoring of any legal and regulatory developments is crucial. Keep track of disclosures regarding lawsuits, potential settlements, and the Department of Justice SEC inquiries to assess the ultimate financial and reputational cost. And pay close attention to analyst and partner channel checks, those third-party reports citing conversations with customers and partners. They can provide a valuable, independent view of the incident's real-world impact on customer sentiment and new business pipelines post-outage.
It really raises the question, how will the company's ability to transparently and effectively address these ongoing issues ultimately define its long-term trajectory and its place in the industry?
That's the key question moving forward. Transparency and execution are paramount now.
Well, we've truly unpacked a lot today, from CrowdStrike's groundbreaking cloud-native platform and formidable competitive moat to the seismic market-shaking July 2024 outage. It's a company that truly embodies a duality, a cybersecurity powerhouse with impressive growth and a deep strategic advantage, yet one that just faced its most significant operational challenge.
It really does. And, you know, to connect this to the bigger picture, the CrowdStrike outage serves as a stark reminder for all organizations, really. In an increasingly interconnected and automated digital world, even the most robust and widely adopted security solutions carry inherent, albeit rare, risks of single points of failure. This incident demands a renewed focus, I think, not just on what technology you deploy, but how you meticulously assess and manage the operational resilience of your entire digital ecosystem. How might this critical incident reshape industry standards for vendor transparency and for the protocols surrounding software updates, ensuring a safer and more resilient future for everyone online? That's something worth thinking about.
A very thought-provoking question indeed. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. Until next time, stay curious.